461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion. We're talking about a very serious issue today. It's a controversial issue. It's an issue that I believe affects every church across America. We're talking about today, beware of Scripture twisting. The twisting of Scripture. Otherwise, if you put it in the Youngblood vernacular, false teaching. Some do not like to hear it in that way. But it's Scripture twisting. Would you go to a church and listen to a pastor or tune in online or some conference and listen to one that you know is a false teacher? Most of the time, the answer would be no. Most of the time, individuals say, well, I'm not interested in listening to a false teacher. Many times that's a bifurcated statement, because many Christians today are anemic, unlearned, immature, or may I say just downright ignorant of what the Scripture says. And as a result of that, multitudes today across denominational lines will embrace Scripture twisting, false teaching, voodoo theology, and not even realize that's happening. It's a very dangerous, dangerous thing. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps the greatest threat to the church today is that of false teachers with false doctrine, with false theology, that will teach or give just enough biblical truth to entice, intrigue, and encourage the believer to tune in, to listen, and to heed what is being said. I believe it's too long, too many have been deceived into believing the lie, all because of Scripture twisting today. Most believers can easily recognize false teaching if it's out and out false teaching. You know, those that will say Jesus Christ is not God, those that will say Jesus Christ was not divine, those that will deny the virgin birth, we recognize those and we call them false teachers. But ladies and gentlemen, it's the subtlety of false teaching being carried out by Scripture twisting. Scripture twisting. In today's world, I believe it's crucial for us to have a clear understanding of what the Bible really says and what the Bible says about Scripture twisting. I'm going to read one verse, and then we'll complete our monologue and ask you to dial the number that I'll give you in a moment. In this text in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, and as also in his epistle, speaking in them of things, these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, W-R-E-S-T, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. The word rest, W-R-E-S-T, in the King James text can be translated twist, distort, misrepresent. And it talks about those that are unlearned. Listen, it says they're unlearned and unstable. That's two words that I want us to grasp today. Those that are twisting Scripture are unlearned and unstable. and yet they're twisting the scripture, and multitudes believe them and follow it. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. Multitudes today have gotten away from the truth book. Jesus says to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus himself says, "I am truth." Further, in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." And in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And yet we have those today that disbelieve in, refuse to recognize or embrace truth. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And ladies and gentlemen, I think it is applicable not just in general conversation, not just in political rhetoric, not just in denominational dogma, but in biblical theological truth. Ladies and gentlemen, multitudes are drifting from the truth so far they do not recognize it. And that includes, I believe, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. The former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, looking at a headline, DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. DeMint said in part this statement, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity," end quote. And yet, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to the fact that if you remove absolute truth, then anybody can say anything, preach anything, teach anything, make any statement, and it is just as valid as the next person, whether it is factual truth for it or not. We need to have a fundamental, foundational fact, and that is, Jesus says, "I am truth." But yet, according to this document that I'm holding, 55% of the younger Americans, the millennials, say each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one truth. It's the truth of the Word of God. We're going to be boring down a little on that today as we talk about beware of Scripture twisting. But ladies and gentlemen, I'll go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's a challenge. And I believe it's a challenge that we need to embrace in our society today. To seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and be willing to stand and defend it, even if it means death. And we're in a society today where we should have no less foundation than the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business package for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, "How can I find that?" It's right at the intersection of the 295 Beltway, right at Old St. Augustine Road. And ladies and gentlemen, there's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Oh Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. If you call and you get a busy signal, that means the lines are tied up. Simply call back until you get through. We'd be delighted to talk with you today. We're talking about an issue, beware of scripture twisting. What does it mean to twist the scripture? What does it mean to take the scripture out of context? Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the professors at Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps, we're going to be talking about scripture twisting. Take a brief moment, without going into major details, and just express what is scripture twisting.
As you mentioned a few minutes ago, we have many of those who profess to be teachers of the Word who are unlearned and unstable false teachers.
Yes.
They have a difficult time understanding the Scriptures. The passage that we read in 2 Peter 3:16 has to do with Paul's teachings and that they are inspired Scriptures too.
Mm-hmm. Good illustration of inspiration of Scripture.
But what we're talking about here is a matter of the proper understanding of the Scriptures. That is, having a proper interpretation.
Yes.
So, in the Bible, we have some rules, some regulations concerning the matter of interpreting the Scriptures. And we teach courses here in what we call Bible interpretation. Interpretation of the Scriptures. There are several things that we need to adhere to, and that is revealing the meaning of a word as found in the text. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about revealing the meaning of the Scriptures, we have an example back in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 8. The Bible says, "So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." In that particular scene, people were standing in honor of the Word of God. They were not just sitting down. Mm-hmm. They were listening to the Word of God. They had ears to hear. And there was the reading of the Scriptures. And then there would be the explanation of that text.
Dr. Phelps, if I could jump in for a moment, that's an intriguing text to me. I've always enjoyed that. Because when the Scriptures read, they were on a platform, first illustration of a raised platform for the preacher. They were reading the Scripture, preaching the Scripture, and then according to the study of the Scripture, they had a group of men that will work through the crowd and say, "Did you understand what he said?" And then they would explain it if there was a lack of understanding. Go ahead.
So the people were able to understand. And so the truth of the Scriptures was explained to the people.
Yes.
And that's the basic thing right there. So in the matter of interpretation, it's very important that we give the aim of the text. I'm using that word purposely. Exposition means that we explain the Scriptures. Exposition of the Scriptures is finding the aim of the text, and that means the author's intended meaning. Mm-hmm. We believe the Spirit of God inspired the Scriptures, and that people who know the Lord, believing Christians, can know what it means. So there's a way of explaining the Scriptures, and the true meaning is determined by the author of the Scriptures and not the reader.
Absolutely. In fact, it is interesting that I believe it is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, says there's no private interpretation. That means the Scripture is not so designed so that only one person can understand it. And Dr. Phelps, as I've said many times in the hermeneutics classes, there's one interpretation, but many applications. Because all Scripture is given that we can understand it, and then how is it applied today? So some of the things that you were talking about, I just simply make a statement that the main tool is to make Scripture have its intent based on context.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Now, there's another method of interpreting Scriptures, and it's called impository. Mm-hmm. preaching or teaching, which causes people to misunderstand what is read in the Bible. When we say imposition, we're talking about how that some people will impose a theological meaning that will cause the person listening, the listener, to misunderstand. So liberals and false teachers and heretics palm off on gullible people a meaning that is decided by themselves and the reader of the scriptures and not the author. So we believe that the Bible is understood when people explain the true meaning of the scriptures.
Absolutely. That's well stated. And ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We can get into much deeper understanding of what we're talking about today as time passes. But the issue today, beware of scripture twisting. Are you familiar with that? Are you familiar? Can you tell when someone's twisting the scripture? And very simply put, taking words of God in the Bible and telling you that it means one thing and applying it in one fashion when it was never intended to be understood or applied in that fashion. Dr. Phelps, I've made a brief note in relationship to some of the principles that we teach here at Conservative Theological University when we teach hermeneutics. The main tool is to make Scripture something that's not intended in the Scripture. It's what many will do in the false teaching and the twisting of Scripture. It will make the Scripture sound one way. That is, it is a word or a sentence or a verse that should be understood in the larger context, the paragraph or thought or the chapter or the entire book or the entire Bible. Scripture never contradicts itself. So let me, ladies and gentlemen, take a moment and dig a little deeper on the word context. And Dr. Phelps, every student that's ever been in one of my classes, they understand the word context. I say there's five things important on biblical interpretation. Context, 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 context. If it's a text out of context, it's a pretext. It should never be used as a text. And we find, ladies and gentlemen, those scripture twisters will make scripture say that which God never intended it to say. Dr. Phelps, what say you in relationship to the scripture twisting? Now, the question begs to be asked, and I'll toss the ball to you. Are these that twist the scripture, are they false teachers? Are they knowingly, willingly teaching false doctrine and theology? Or are they just unlearned and as a result of being unlearned, preaching and teaching things they're ignorant of? What say you?
Let me give you an example.
All right.
In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, I shall read. Then I'll have a comment about that. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, excuse, to whom also he showed himself alive. That's speaking of Jesus, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And that word kingdom is the word I want us to think about. We have those today who will confuse the meaning of the word kingdom. I believe that God's people need to know today that Calvinism confuses the truth about the future millennial kingdom. So when they read this passage, they think of it as being a spiritual kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Only.
That's right.
They think of it as being fulfilled today. But you can tell by reading this text, Jesus was talking about, and they were asking about, a time yet future when God will restore the kingdom to Israel. Mm-hmm. And so that's very important. The reason that some Calvinists today misinterpret the scripture is because they allegorize the scriptures.
Spiritualize or allegorize, yes.
Yeah. When our idea of the future millennial kingdom is based upon the truth of the scriptures rather than the thoughts of men, we'll understand the biblical meaning. But by using the allegorical rather than the literal interpretation of the scriptures, some people try to redefine the biblical promise of the future earthly messianic kingdom to mean only a spiritual kingdom in this church age.
Absolutely. And Dr. Phelps, one of the things that comes to mind as you were speaking is in the 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18 text, and it's speaking about the rapture of the church. But the Apostle Paul says, I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And we've got a lot of ignorant brethren, if I can be bold enough to say that. And it is as a result of the scripture twisting that takes place, and it's prevalent. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not something that just happens occasionally. It is prevalent today in the New Testament church where the ignorance, the immaturity, the anemic condition of Christians. And by the way, I'm not saying that in a major sense of trying to discourage or dissuade our listeners as Christians today. But I'm saying that because it is very, very important, Dr. Phelps, for our listeners to understand there's a scripture that is the guide point for what we need to do in relationship to what we see taking place. And that's in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. The word approved is the word dokumos, approved unto God. Let me just, before I go any further, explain. Study to show thyself approved, dokumos. And that word comes from that era, that custom, because they would mold a pottery pot or pottery vase, as it is called. And when they would finish, it would come out of the kiln, and after it cooled, the inspector would look at it, hold it up to the sun, look into it. If they could see any crack in it, they would stamp on it, ah, dokumos, disapproved. But if it had no cracks and all is intact, it was stamped approved, dokumos, and set aside to be used or sold as an approved vessel. And the scripture says that 2 Timothy 2:15, study. And study there carries with the idea of labor, of diligence. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God's word is true. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to rightly divide it. And some of the scripture twisting today is not taking into account the context. Secondly, these false teachers or scripture twisters they try to take a verse or a passage out of the Bible as applies only to Israel and make it sound like it applies to the church. Dr. Phelps explained to our listeners why you can't take a passage or verse or a text where God is dealing directly with Israel, speaking to Israel. Why can't we just take that and say, I'm going to accept that myself. It applies to me as a Christian. Explain the application based on context.
Well, it's very important that we look at the context and thereby determine from that the meaning that's intended. When some people read the scriptures, they are bothered. I use that word intentionally. They're bothered by philosophers and teachers in past history who've had what I call a philosophical background rather than a biblical background. Mm-hmm. One of those was Augustine.
Yes.
Augustine decided that we need to allegorize the scriptures rather than interpreted than literally. And in doing so, he spiritualized the meanings of words. And so the word church and the word Israel, for example, are the synonymous to him. It's just a spiritual kingdom that we're looking at here today. And I could say more about that. There's a the Bible talks about the difference between the church and Israel, and I should like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 32, if I may. The Bible says, "Give not offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." We believe that verse is important to us today in understanding the scriptures, because that distinction has not been removed. This great truth that we're taught here. The Jews are a specific group of people. The church is different from the people of Israel. Mm-hmm. And the Gentiles, that's another group. The three groups of people. And if we're going to understand the scriptures, then we need to understand that. And I could elaborate on that, if I may.
Take a moment
just
to
a little
that,
bit to do
and then
that.
We'll make a transition to some
Calvinism.
Want us to set the stage, and then, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to use some specific text that's pretty popular in the preaching, teaching, Christian church scene today. We're going to talk about what is said that it means and what it really means to prove to you, to example for your edification today, what we're talking about with scripture twisting. Dr. Phelps, go ahead.
In the book of Romans, chapters 9 through 11, many people misinterpret the passage because they don't observe that distinction I just mentioned. Church is different from Israel. But Calvinism, for example, confuses the church with Israel. Let me explain how the church is different, if I may.
Okay.
I believe the church is something new. When Jesus and his disciples ministered, it was during the time of the Old Covenant, Law of Moses, and the people of Israel would assemble in their synagogues or various places on the Sabbath day to hear the reading of the scriptures, the preaching of sermons, and singing of psalms. And that was, of course, complementary. And so the church, however, is something new and different from the old Jewish assembly of people in the household of Israel. First of all, the church is a new assembly. We call it the Church of God or the household of faith. And it's made up of both Jewish and Gentile believers. And the word church identifies those who are called out of the world by the gospel of Christ to a new fellowship with God.
The ecclesia of God, yes.
The church is a called out assembly, mm-hmm. for we are called with a heavenly calling and a holy calling. But Israel was called out of Egypt to inherit the promised land. So the assembly of Israel identifies those who have an earthly calling.
Absolutely. And Dr. Phelps, if I can interject this, when you look at Israel, it talks about many times the assembly of Israel or the congregation of Israel. But under, and you're explaining that very well, but under that heading, that banner, the Calvinist today will say, well, the church has always existed. The church just, it's not new. It came out, did not just come on the scene in Acts chapter 2. It's always existed because, after all, it talks about the assembly of Israel, the congregation of Israel, and the word assembly and congregation is the same term that's used for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the major, major, major difference. Yeah. But even beyond that, Dr. Phelps, those today that will twist the scripture, taking scripture out of context, is the major thing, because, ladies and gentlemen, we need to read the scripture and find out who's speaking. That's the authorship. We need to think about who's speaking, who it's spoken to. That's the audience. Then we need to say, why is it written? That is application. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.org.